Let's check.
Okay, good. Okay.
1, 2, 3. Okay.
Great.
Okay.
So I'm here with Pat Ari on February 22nd. So why don't you tell me, when you were first appointed a commissioner on the KPK, how did you feel? You know, what were your concerns?
Like, number one, it is a great challenge. There are many supports. At the same time, there are many challenges, barriers, obstacles, many. Mm. But we positively thought that we use all the positive side, all the supporting parties. Okay, Minister of Finance, President at that time, Megawati, and also SBY in the first 2 years, it's okay. And the first thing to do is to how to build an organization and an excellent HR. And the law says that the investigators should come from the police and the prosecutors. Then we mix with the civil servants, which are already there, because we have to merge with a commission who investigates the government officials' wealth. So we have some civil servants from there, and then we hire many professionals from private sector. So you can imagine we have to combine three group of people from three different culture: law enforcement agency officials, common civil servants, and private sector's professionals.
So how did you do that? What policies did you put in place?
We have many sessions, many forums, many internalization events, such that we have the same. We found the same values, and then culture, and then code of conduct, and also agreed by all parties, all regulation, employee regulations, and then followed up by, with their participation, all standard operating procedures, all steps, operational steps, and logistic steps that we have to find out. And important thing is that we set up our own HR management system. Very different, quite different, very different with the civil servants HR management. And we asked that as a government regulation, special government regulation for us. So that drives us in empowering, encouraging our employees to be a good example. And we push them to be an example, to be a good example for other institutions. I think that's the basic things that we put in place.
How did you develop the code of ethics you were talking about?
That's the participatory process. Not only internal, but also stakeholders. We publish that to the stakeholders, to NGOs, to private sectors, and we got all the inputs, and then we design, we prepare our code of conduct, our code of ethics, and then again we publish that to get some inputs. But so far, it's not yet changed, but still there.
Was it hard to get permission for the special, special civil service?
Well, of course, because this is a new scheme that proposed by a new commission, a new agency. But we have a basis as a law, that is the law, law number 30/2002. That our basic references. So we use that basis to ask to the agency. Of course, there are many changes, challenges, but we very determined to get that license. It takes maybe 3 or 6 months. Yeah, because first year almost all commissioners are not yet paid, or paid a small amount of money. But the second year, then everything in place, then we will pay based on the new regulations.
I've heard that in the first year there wasn't very much budgeting. So how did you deal with that obstacle?
Well, we were agreed that we are here not only to seek money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Money is important, but it's not number one. Number one is how to build this organization properly. And luckily, fortunately, we were all five. In some extent, it's already quote unquote established, so no problem with finance. Although we need, of course. So we have agreed that okay, we have to sacrifice, we have to make a struggle in getting approval of everything. I think we have to sacrifice for this first year. So that is the basis of our endeavor.
Did you and the other four commissioners have any disagreements in the first year? Was there any kind of
what agreements?
Disagreements? Any controversies?
Disagreement? Yes, of course. The law says that we have to decide every decisions collectively.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the chairman is the primus inter pares. What do you call that? Primus inter pares. Primus inter pares. First among equal.
Okay, yeah.
First among equal.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so no special power of the chairman. So all decisions must be made collectively. Yeah, of course, some strategic decision was debated by us strongly, but mostly we agreed almost any decisions as unanimously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Only one or two, which is strategic and important strategic, and then we came into the position of two vote yes, two vote no, one abstain.
Oh.
So we hold that decision.
So what did you do? You just held off on the decision?
Only once or twice.
Oh. Yeah. Can you tell me at all about those conflicts?
Not conflicts. This is just disagreement.
Yeah, disagreement.
Disagreement. We at the time strongly recommend to have our own investigator.
Mm. Mm.
But if we change the law, it would be difficult and long way to go. So what we have to do is, why don't we just try an investigator, which is not the police. Once the judge decides it is no problem, then that becomes the law.
Oh. So you tried to have outside
investors? We suggest.
Oh, you suggested.
Yeah, of course, not alone, but the police, investigators, prosecutors, investigators, and then coupled with two non-police and non-prosecutors investigators.
Mm.
Okay? You just try. Then the court will be decided whether it is valid or not. Once the court said valid, okay, then that is the law. So private investigators could be considered as official investigators.
Mm.
The two people said, no, it's too risky. Blah, 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 blah. The law says this, the law says this. So the one abstain. So we hold that. To me, and it is proven now, it's very important.
Mm.
Because the most independent one is the private investigators. Because the investigators come from the police, then cannot investigate the police. Investigators come from the prosecutors, cannot investigate the prosecutors. So what we did at the time, if we have a case of the police, then prosecutors, investigators investigate. If the prosecutors has a problem, then police investigator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the compromise one. But still, even up to now, I think that issue is very important. They have to have their own investigators. Yeah, through training. The ex-police can also be hired.
Oh, okay.
Ex-prosecutors can also be hired. Ex-judges, which has a talent of investigation, could also be hired. That's just the point, because it is not logical. The police could be an investigators of KPK, because of this title as police. Once he retired, he is still investigator because investigation expertise adhered,
He's still in there.
Yeah.
It may even be better, right?
Yeah. With long experience.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we not allow to hire them?
Mm.
They are experienced police investigators. So that's the point.
So it's still an issue.
It's still an issue. I think we NGOs agreed to make a pressure on that, to push that to be a law in the next review of anti-corruption law.
Mm. Who did you look to for guidance or for advice when you were first setting up the commission? Did you look to other countries or advisors?
We our laws is copied maybe about 50%, more than 50% from ICAC Hong Kong.
Mm.
And the court was copied from the Philippines or one or East European or African countries.
Huh.
That's a special anti-corruption court. Okay.
Oh, the TP-Corps.
TP-Corps. But they didn't work in the Philippines and those other countries.
Yeah.
But it does work here. It does work here very well. Yeah.
Mm.
Although there is a problem of what are they? Non-career judges.
Mm.
But now it's okay. Now it's okay. The problem now is when they open the branch in the regional.
Mm.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. They lost two or three cases in.
I broke the record. I broke the perfect record.
Yeah.
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 Oh, very
That's
sad.
Bad. That's bad. Because the recruitment. The key is the recruitment of the judges that time is not properly done.
Mm.
That's why we focusing very much on our recruitment way back 2003-2004. No compromise, no nothing. We hired a good professional to make a profiling assessment, to do some interviews, many things. Long, long process. And we did ourselves, all commissioners, interview them one by one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All the deputies, all the directors, all the key personnel. We did it.
Wow. What was the hardest challenge in the recruitment?
The hardest challenge in the recruitment is how to make sure that one has a good track record.
Oh.
Okay. Although there is a methodology of background checking, tracking, but still it remains some doubt, So at the end of the day, we have to make a judgment.
Mm.
Well, okay. It's all right. But later on, if we found something, then we just investigate. Our internal affairs can do that.
How did you set up the internal affairs unit? I think that's a...
The law says that this, even the our law is very unique. Even the organization structure also set up in the law. So there is the deputyship for public complaints and internal affairs, internal audit. Previously, they intended to follow up all the public complaints about KPK personnel to be investigated by internal affairs. But now it's expanded. The public complaints is a complaint and report from the public about everything, about corruption as well as about employees.
Wow.
Attitude. About employee attitude then goes to internal audit. Public complaints about the corruption, report about corruption, it goes to their own. They set up their internal verification, and then if it is strong indication, then shifted to pre-investigation directorate, and so forth.
Was this the online whistleblower complaint system?
They just installed that 2 years ago.
Oh,
2 years
new.
Ago,
okay.
Yeah. We planned that in 2006.
Oh.
Before we retired, but it realized after 2007, the online. Then copied from one of the African countries, funded by GTZ, now GIZ,
okay.
German aid agency. Yeah.
So in the first year, the commission made a difficult decision to focus on capacity building and not to begin investigations. Was there a lot of public pressure about that?
Yeah. You know, the biggest challenge of us is the high public expectation. The very high public expectation. Even when we did investigate high officials, high expectation is not stopped. Even higher. We investigate governor. Not only governor, only one. How about other governors? And then if more than one governor, then they said, well, how about the ministers? on and on and higher expectations. I think that's the biggest challenge, how to manage public expectations.
So how did you try to manage it? What did you do?
We just make it transparent that this is the due process of law, this is the process of investigation, that we have to be careful, and what we make them aware of is that our law says that we don't have any mechanism to stop investigation. Well, the police and the prosecutors have that. So once the pre-investigation investigations comes into the 70% certainty, then we'll go with the investigation and prosecution. Otherwise, we just drop the case in the pre-investigation.
So you can drop the case
in the pre-investigation.
Oh, okay.
But once it entered into the investigation process, no mechanism to stop that.
Okay.
So that's why we carefully select cases.
Yes, it seems even harder then that you maintained 100% conviction rate.
Yeah.
You couldn't even drop cases after.
I think one of the reasons of 100% conviction rate is because we're careful. We do carefully on the selection of the case. If the case is not so strong and the evidence is not available yet, then we postpone that. I think there are many cases postponed or just put aside for the time being. While we are processing the strong cases and we are waiting for additional evidences.
Is there any preparation you wish you had done before you started as commissioner? Like, looking back, are there any skills you wish you had developed or any work you had done ahead of time?
Well, my career is rather strange because I was working with the state on my state-owned company.
Mm-hmm.
3 years with the property state-owned mining company, a state-owned company, and then 9 years in coal mining companies, also state-owned mining companies, and then the last 12 years in the thin state-owned mining company. Director of finance 4 years, and then 8 years as CEO. But luckily, that experience is very useful because then I knew HR management, strategic management system. I knew how to make a strategic session. I knew everything about management. The difference is this is still profit-oriented organization, this is non-profit organization, law enforcement agency. That's only the difference. But basic management, basic leadership, that's the same. So I think that experience makes me easier in handling how to build a good organization. That's why we are focusing on HR, we are focusing on recruitment, we set up all the SOPs, we set up all the codes, and we set up how the control system could be in place. So I think that's the, now I did not have any preparation except my experience, which is very useful in preparing that organization.
Yes. I mean, often public servants don't always have that experience. So.
No.
Wow, okay, so the things you brought from the public sector said were like the standard operating procedures, the management. What other kind of management structures or policies did you bring?
Well, vision. The vision, mission, how to reach a common agreed values, and then turn down into, what do you call that, code of conduct, code of values, how to develop organization culture, how to team up all the task forces and all team whole directorate.
Was it ever hard to get the rest of the KPK to go along with your private sector ideas?
Well, no problem. As long as we can explain it clearly, I think that can accept sincerely.
Mm.
So there is a technique to do that, and we applied all the techniques to it.
When you were in the KPK, did you try to reach out to the private sector for education or
for training?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Training and all courses.
Okay, so you did trainings in the private sector.
Mm.
You were talking about. Did you try to impact the policies of the private sector at all? Like, did you change their policies, like for procurement or?
Oh yeah, yeah. We make a socialization of campaign to all private sectors, to all NGOs, and to other government agencies, and. Yeah, of course.
Hmm.
It's an interactive dialogue, you know, with all sectors. We got some inputs from private sector. We also gave them some inputs on how to improve their good corporate governance and all that. So there's a complete dialogue, multi-stakeholders dialogue. We maintain that.
Was it ever hard to balance the investigation role of the KPK with the education and prevention role?
Prevention.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very interesting thing. Yeah. But prevention should be part of the repression.
Mm.
So once we make a repressive action, then follow up by preventive measures.
Mm.
No problem. As long as they understand that universally, there are two main key strategy, you know,
yeah.
Repressive, preventive. Corruption by greed, corruption by need. That's all.
Mm.
The buzzword of campaign.
It's hard though, because the prevention side doesn't make the headlines, you know.
Oh yeah, that's the problem. So what we have to do is to educate, to train the media, people.
So how
important the preventive measures as well. As repressive.
How did you do that?
Oh, we embraced them. We visited them.
Oh.
We visited their offices, printed media, electronic media, and also online media.
Hmm.
As many as we can. We visited them one by one.
Indonesia is such a big country and so diverse. Was it hard to cover the entire country, you know, from Jakarta?
Sure. Yeah. But, you know, combating corruption is not, it doesn't mean that we have to go to all other areas, you know. Number one is the commitment of the leaders, from the president to all ministers, all parliament members, and all judicial branch of state leaders. Number two, deterrent effect should be created, but deterrent effect alone is not enough. Has to be followed up with preventive things. Okay, more tighter control, more solid controls, and then also recruitment of civil servants and bureaucracy reform. Okay, we have to reform the bureaucracy among the executive. Once the parliament members, for example, fail to control themselves, then the beginning of more challenges come. And that was happened the last 2 years when 25 parliament members investigated.
Yeah.
And now most of them are already in court. Then the fight backs begin from parliament members, you know. That's the dangerous one.
Hmm.
And I think more to come. Maybe now it's close to 50. I don't know. You can get some data from KPK, yeah? And they are now tend to awakening KPK through the laws. So that's the real challenges for the next year ahead. Yeah.
So. So that way was a, there was a lot of attacks during the second term of, yeah, of KPK, you know, after you left.
Oh, yeah. But we are focusing on the first.
Yeah, well, okay. But I'm writing actually a bit about both. Okay. First of all, what do you think about the leadership in the second term? Do you think how do you think they changed things, or did we think?
Yeah, you know, any leadership has their own type, has their own style. That's fine. But once they change the procedures, change the regulations, internal regulations, then that's the beginning of the problem. Once the code of ethics, code of conduct ignored or disobeyed, that's the beginning of the problem. So the second batch of leadership of KPK, it was started hampering because of the chairman, which was, you know.
The first chairman.
Yes. No, the second. The chairman of the second.
Yes, but the one who was. Yeah,
Antasari. And then the acting is Pangabean. Yeah? That's the beginning of disaster. You know? If the corruption fight back, the parliament members fight back KPK, that to me is okay. We just face it. But if the problem comes from internal, that's more serious problems occur. That makes us difficult. More difficult, because then we have to make this organization back to solid to face attacks from enemies. But now I think the third one is we can expect. Although again the chairman is too young. He's what do you call it? Media fever, you know?
He's quoted a lot in the media.
Exactly. It must be the other way around, you know. The team of the pre-investigation reported to the commissioner, saying that okay, our pre-investigation almost finished. We found this evidence. I think this is this case is strong, so we recommend this case could be lift up to investigation stage. Then the commissioner make an analysis. Okay, this is our directive. You expand this. Strengthen this, okay, we lift up this to investigation stage. That's it. Who is the suspect? What the evidence?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now I think the other way around. Since these leaders tend to be that I know everything. The story is wrong. They don't know because they are in the top, you know. So what we have to do is to control, to manage, to lead all the investigations or process down here.
Why do you think that during your term the KPK did not suffer these attacks from Parliament?
Well, because first
from the other people.
First 4 years, maybe they didn't feel at that time. After the Parliament members detained, after more ministers investigated, and after the governor of Bank Indonesia, Central Bank, investigated and convicted, maybe, oh, it is serious. We thought it is only a game. Now it is serious. Oh, it's serious for us, so we have also to fight back seriously. I think that's kind of
okay.
Yeah.
Was it hard to manage the growth? I can't believe that KPK went from 4 or 5 employees to hundreds within 4 years.
Yeah.
But was that hard to manage?
And Oh yeah.
How did you deal with that growth?
Oh, I think the key is the recruitment process. Number two is regulations, internal regulations and standard operating procedures. And then a good induction program, you know? Induction program is, you know that.
So what makes a good induction program?
Induction program, we invite also outsource some of the expertise from outsiders, from private sectors. The main thing is to make the same common ground. Why we are here, okay? That's number one. And number two, number three is just a normal induction program. Values, change, etc. Culture, do's and don'ts, something like that.
Did it become harder to trust the staff once you like couldn't, you can't know hundreds of people. Yeah, so yeah. Once you don't know them face to face, was it harder to trust the staff?
Well, that is control system.
Control system.
IT also helps, you know, IT. And then internal audit. And then whistleblowing, our whistleblowing system within us. We have to report if our colleague doing something wrong, confidentially or publicly, no problem. And we empower them. Oh, and also we create a climate of egalitarian. Okay? Everyone can talk everything as long as it relates or relevant to the topics of the discussion. It's empower them. So they are proud of them and they can talk everything. But once the decision is made, everyone is. Okay. I think that's also the key.
Yeah. From the start, the KPK was very strong about using its surveillance powers. Was that a hard decision to make? You know, how did you decide to use your surveillance, you know, wiretapping powers?
Well, that's a tough process.
Yeah.
There are many obstacles. But this is a good thing because what we have to do is to get buy-in from other stakeholders. From telephone operators, we get a good buy-in. Because they know it is good for the country and good also for their concern, so their interest. And we go to the regulators, Director, Ministry of Telecommunication. Then we get also their buy-in. So it's a matter of approach and how to make them understand what we are intending to do. And we introduced that we want to be controlled by you. Okay, that's also the key. So how? We make an agreement, we make an MOU, we make whatever. They agreed. You control us, and then we form an audit team once a year, consists of operators, regulators, and us.
Okay.
So three of us making an audit on who is tapped, what is the result, which one is failed, which one is something like that. So they did an audit, annual audit, on the wire.
Did you ever worry that a defendant would challenge this in court?
No.
No.
Oh yeah. Once challenged, but we win. We won.
Mm. So it was not difficult to work with the telecom companies, the Ministry of Information. They worked together.
For the first time, yes.
But
in stages, it took about a year or two. To convince everyone, all operators, all regulators.
Were you ever worried about your physical safety or the staff? You know,
well,
of
course. But we had a SOP on to how to do that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Standard operating procedures, how to protect ourselves. Yeah, we also allowed to get to have a gun. Pistol and some other thing. But actually, when during our term, no physical.
Okay.
But SMS, email, rumor, of course, there are many. We have our own health safety procedures,
Okay.
How to protect our security.
Do you work together with other law enforcement on that?
Sure. On the Financial Intelligence Unit, FIU, and also police, and also AGO, Attorney General's Office.
Okay, almost done. I know
you have to get
me. What do you think the impact of the KPK has been on? Well, first of all, on law enforcement, do you think it's impacted other law enforcement agencies?
It triggers the police and the prosecutors to do a good job, to do a better job, more productive. And also, I think the deterrent effect is there, although it's not all. As I mentioned earlier, our biggest enemies now is the fight back from the parliament members. Because they have a power to change the law. So that's what civil society and private sector should be one in to push that with government.
How did you build those relationships with civil society? And
we have a periodical routine, regular coordination and dialogues and communication with them. Not only NGOs, civil society, but also private sectors.
Mm. How about, do you think the KPK has affected Indonesian politics? Do you think it's...
In some extent, yes, yeah. But not as significant as we expected.
Mm.
Not as significant as we expected. Yeah. But for sure, yes, there is an effect, a positive effect.
And what about in the private sector? Do you think it's impacted the private sector?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Private sector, yes, yes. I think less and less private sector who does the bribe to the civil servants, yeah?
Hmm.
Yeah. If they do, then they do more complicated. A bit complicated that's what they did before,
hmm.
Yeah?
The KPK has mainly pursued politicians and people in the public sector. Mm-hmm. Do you ever think about prosecuting people in the private sector?
Because the definition of corruption of our law is that there must be official state official.
Mm.
There must be someone else who cooperate with them, which could be private sector.
Mm.
Okay, a markup in procurement things, or private sector's bribes,
yes,
yeah, for procurement or for other business to state officials. So those two are corruption. So mostly bribes or markups.
Mm. So why hasn't the KPK pursued this more? It,
on the private sector?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They have?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have.
Okay.
Yeah, although it's not a big one,
mm.
It was a medium size of private sectors, yeah.
Do you think it's harder to get evidence now that people know, you know,
bribe,
how you...
Yeah. Bribe and cash is very difficult, you know? Bribe all the complicated things through subcontractors or through principals outside the countries. That's a bit complicated, but as long as it is traceable, that's easier. The most difficult one is bribe, because bribe should be catch red-handed.
Okay.
Yeah. No other way. Catch the handed. Yeah. Because the evidence is very difficult. There is no evidence. Cash, you know, cannot be traced.
Mm-hmm.
If we can trace, it's very difficult.
Huh. Do you just have any general reflections on your time at the KPK? Anything else you wanted to kind of share with me about?
Well, number one is if I can go back,
yes,
to 2003.
Yes, yes.
I think I will be more pushy on the our own investigator.
Oh.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, we'll be more precautious in selection of new commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to prepare from internal, we have to prepare leaders from outside, which in turn should be registered as a candidate to be selected.
Mm.
Number three, use the power of private sector and civil society more effectively, more rigorously, yeah, more rigorous, more intensive.
It must have been, how did you feel in 2009 when the whole country rallied on behalf of the KPK? Mm-hmm. What was that like for you? Did you expect that, or what was that? Was that a big surprise to you?
No.
When there were, you know, protests about the geckos and the...
We predicted that.
Yeah.
Okay? But not that bad. Yeah. So we surprised, but not so surprised.
Oh.
What we have to do, we involve ourselves to be a cicak, you know, to be a gecko.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, almost all ex-commissioners involved.
Oh, in the protests, yeah?
In the protests, yeah. Amin, except Amin, because Amin, binding with World Bank regulations.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
you couldn't. Yeah, couldn't be involved in any action like that. But the ex-chairman Taufik Kuramaruki and Panggabean, myself, and Sarudin Rasul, all the remaining commissioners are involved.
Was it personally hard for you to be in the KPK, and then I'm sure you lost a lot of friendships and made some new enemies. Was that hard?
The first year, yes, very difficult, because previously as a CEO, you know, from coffee shop is my routine job. Sharing information, meeting business partners, meeting customers, you know, entertaining people. And then suddenly we have to close ourselves. We have to isolate ourselves. Our code of ethics even do not allow us to be in the public place like this.
Oh, wow.
In the lobby, in coffee shop. No. We cannot do that. So what we have to do is invite them to our office, or we go to his office. But the objective should be clear.
Okay. And last question.
Okay.
Do you have any advice for someone in another country trying to build a anti-corruption commission as successful as the KPK?
Well, I think they have to learn from KPK. There are many success stories. There are many failure stories. Success stories, they can copy it. Failure stories, they can use it. How to avoid that?
Like what would be a
failure success? Well, their own investigators.
Yeah, yes.
And how to treat parliament members.
Oh.
Okay. How to extensively do the preventive side. Okay. How to mobilize civil society, how to empower civil society in a good way and proper way, and how to mobilize the private sectors, and also how to build commitment from all, from the top to the lower level leaders in the country.
How do you think you could have managed relations with the parliament better?
Well, maybe there must be one of my regretted things. We have to have a serious training or something like workshop for the candidates before the election. All the candidates to be elected in the election should be gone through this workshop. Or this workshop certificate to be one of the requirements to be a candidate. Parliament.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah. I regret to not do that at that time. Yeah. I think we can strongly recommend to the government to make it additional requirement. All candidates should be having this workshop. Not only anti-corruption, but also good governance, you know. Policy making process, how to deal with the executive, what is the limit of the parliament members, just the basic things like that.
Great. So thank you so much.